The U.S. military is having a day in court, actually three of them, courts that is, across the country and in Canada. In Massachusetts, there's a new challenge to the Pentagon's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy filed in federal court. Here in Washington, D.C., active duty service members are taking on the military's Stop Loss policy. And in Toronto, a war resistor who deserted his base in North Carolina is fighting his extradition on unusual grounds. If you're a service member or in the family of one and might be affected by these rulings, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. And for more on all these cases, Eugene Fidel joins us. He's the president of the National Institute of Military Justice. He joins us on the phone from his office here in Washington. Good to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Nice to be back.
Let's start with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Does it look as if there's this has been challenged several times before in court? Is there anything new?
Well, yes. What's new is that there has been an intervening decision of the Supreme Court of the United States concerning the constitutionality of criminalizing sodomy. And to the extent that that is in the picture in terms of the premises underlying the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, the authors of this lawsuit believe that that Supreme Court precedent may give them some leverage to overturn the congressional policy that's incorporated in the U.S. Code.
Because, in effect, that policy says homosexual sex, you cannot be a practicing homosexual and be in the military.
That's correct. That's the essence of it. And this is really going to be quite a challenge, I think, for the judges in Boston, because they haven't had a chance to address this yet, and they are going to have to read very carefully what the Supreme Court did and see if they can reconcile it with the kinds of factual findings Congress made during the Clinton administration.
What's been the record of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the courts up to now?
Well, so far the government is doing very, very well in terms of its batting average, if I can use a baseball metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
They've done very well in supporting the policy. The policy is one that has been controversial from the very beginning. Congress did strengthen the government's hand by building right into the U.S. Code some factual findings, which judges find it hard, for obvious reasons, to overcome. And I would say at this point, the question is, on one level, how much of a difference does the Supreme Court's recent decision make? And maybe more elusively, has public opinion shifted in the last several years? I believe there was a recent survey that showed that public opinion now was, let's say, indifferent to the presence of gays and lesbians in the military, which is somewhat different, I believe, from the kind of survey results that were available, let's say, 5 to 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do survey results like that reflect a larger change in the zeitgeist? We'll find out. And if they do, how much does that influence a United States court?
We're talking with Eugene Fidel of the National Institute of Military Justice. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get to the other military controversial personnel policy. This is Stop Loss. What's the challenge to that?
Basically, the problem, the Stop Loss, just to define the term, is a an administrative determination that prevents people who would otherwise be entitled to leave active duty from leaving active duty. It may be people whose reserve time is up, whose enlistments are up, people who have made other plans, people who whose time in country, in Iraq, would ordinarily be up. This is a highly controversial step because people who are in the service sort of assume that, you know, they'll be able to get out when their time is up. And it comes as a very unpleasant surprise to them and their families in many cases when what they thought was a pretty solid date turns out to not be so solid.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, of course, is that you can't conduct military operations under circumstances where active hostilities, I mean to say, under circumstances where, you know, some number of your personnel may say at the end of the day, well, today's my last day. I won't be coming in on Monday. President Lincoln had to deal with this early in the Civil War, where there were a number of militia forces, I believe, who the federal government had a handle on for only a few months, and then they really did vanish.
Yeah,
and
George Washington too, but yeah,
right. So this is a very serious problem. Now, that said, it is an unfortunate fact that the paperwork that the government prepares when people come into the service or agree, let's say, to extend their reserve obligation or agree to extend their enlistments or other obligated service, may not be a model of clarity. I don't think the government falls all over itself to highlight the fact that the ostensible end date of an obligation may, in fact, not be the end date of an obligation if the country at that time or around that time is in a position where it really needs all the people at arms that it can have. And conversely, it is an unfortunate fact that, I should add, these documents are also typically not written in what I'll call the plainest of English. So some of the unpleasant details may get sort of pushed to the side, and the documents themselves can be sort of impenetrable generally. The other side of the equation is people who sign these documents may not be fully informed, may not take the time to fully inform themselves. They may be lulled into a false sense of security when you see a program labeled "Try One," in the sense of you'll do 1 year,
right,
see how you like it. That can be, I think, as a practical matter, quite misleading for people who don't know enough, let's say, or are not persistent or aggressive enough to ask a few follow-on questions such as, what if a shooting war breaks out between the time I sign this and the time I'm due to get out? My try 1 year is up. So that's the juncture, that's the bind that we're dealing with right now, and this litigation is going to call some serious attention to that. Now, whether the government will be set back by this litigation, I think is I think that's quite unlikely. Judges are somewhat loath to intervene in things like this. They're quite
Eugene loath. Fidel, I'm afraid we're going to have to cut it short because we're out of time. But thank you for joining us today, as always.
You're very welcome.
Eugene Fidel of the National Institute of Military Justice. This is NPR News.